HarperCollins presents The Machine by James Smythe, read by Emma Gregory. Part 1. Memory is the greatest gallery in the world, and I can play an endless archive of images. J.G. Ballard, Miracles of Life. Chapter 1. She opens the door to a delivery man and the machine, which has come in three parts, all wrapped in thick paper. Each of the parts is too big to get through the door.
"We'll have to try the window," the man says.
She shows him which one it is, along the communal balcony. It's already at its widest, to let some air into the flat, to try and counteract the invasive heat from outside. Still not wide enough, so the men, the first has been joined by another from the van, having just heaved another thick cream paper-wrapped packet the size of a kitchen appliance from the van and left it leaning against the bollards, tell her that they'll have to take the window out.
"We've got the tools for it," this other man says.
Beth stands back and watches as they unscrew the bolts on the attaching arms and then lift the whole sheet down. Others in the estate have stuck their heads out of their windows or come out of their front doors to watch. Next door, the woman with all the daughters stands and watches, and her girls run around inside. The littlest one stands at the woman's legs, clutching onto her skirt.
"Gawpers," the first man says, always wanting to know what we're up to.
The delivery men don't know what's inside the packages. They're just paid to deliver them. Beth wonders if she's going to be able to assemble it herself, or if she's better off asking them for help. Slip them a 50, they'd probably stand around with her for an hour and figure it out. She doesn't know how easy it will actually be, if there will be wires, or if it's just a case of plugging the pieces together. The man she bought it from said it would be simple. They struggle up the stairwell with the first piece, stopping to mop their brows. They still wear dark blue overalls in this weather, and their now sweaty palms leave dark brown prints on the paper wrapped around the machine's pieces. The first piece makes it through the window more, twisted in the frame as if this is one of those logic games. Manipulate the pieces.
"Right," the first man says. "Where do you want them?"
"In the spare bedroom," Beth tells him. She indicates it through, pointing the way past the living room. The room is light and airy, or as airy as it can be nowadays, and decorated like its master, with an expensive-looking bed. Wallpaper, not paint, with a different dado rail, a thick yellow colour contrasting with the impressed, patterned cream of the walls. The room looks untouched, like nobody's ever lived in it. The bed is made, the sides of the duvet tucked in below the mattress. There's potpourri on the dresser in a simple golden metal dish, but not enough to stop the faint smell of dust. The sunlight, through the window, hits the dust, a cone of it floating in the air.
"Anywhere?"
"By the back wall. I've cleared a space for it." She rushes past, ducking down in front of him, making sure that the space is still clear, then helps him lower the first package.
"What the bloody hell is this thing?" the man asks.
"Exercise equipment," Beth tells him. That's an answer suggested by the man who sold the machine to her. In his email, he told her that he would write that on the form for the collection and on the customs form. He was French, and Beth had to translate his email using the internet, only the occasional word making her stumble. Still, she got the gist.
"Jesus,"
the delivery man says as he puts it down. The French seller has marked the packages with arrows, showing which way up they're to be carried and stored, and stretches his back. He's wearing a thick black harness around his waist, which he pats.
"Lifesaver," he says.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?